Welcome to Ready, Set, Write, helping writers win the publishing race. I am Randy Lindsay, and with me here today is Jeanette Rallison.
Hello, everyone.
And also Aaron Blaylock.
Hey, hey.
And Brock Boer.
What's up, folks?
All right, I've got a question for all of you. Is there a movie that you've seen that's better than the book?
Oh.
And we're going to start with Brock.
Yeah, you know, I really enjoyed The Book Thief. I enjoyed the book, but I thought the movie was just a little bit stronger. I thought the theme was a little clearer and ran true through the entire movie, and I really, really enjoyed it. Superb job all the way around.
Okay.
I'm going to have to go with Alice in Wonderland because I loved that as a child, but you read the book and you're like, this is a drug trip or something. Like,
Which version, though? Dead. Johnny Depp or the cartoon?
I loved the cartoon.
Oh, okay. All right.
And Aaron.
Well, see, now you made me think. See, I'm almost changing my answer because
come on.
Because my daughter would be really mad at me, but The Wizard of Oz, because it's a different, it's the film is so different than the book, but I liked it much better. Yeah. But my daughter was opposite. She'd seen The Wizard of Oz multiple times, and when she read the book, she's like, wow, this is so different, and she liked that better. But I'd pick the film.
Yeah, I'd pick the film too.
Yeah.
I would say Forrest Gump. Because the book is about a bigot, right? But the movie isn't. The movie is about a subpar person who accomplishes astounding, amazing things and sees so many wonderful things in his life, and he doesn't think, if there's anything special about it. It's such a good view. You know, we see these events, and then through Forrest's eyes, we see him so much differently. And, I mean, so the people who made the movie had a much better vision than the author did, in my opinion.
No, it's interesting. So what is our topic for today, though? Movie writing?
I don't know. We don't have a topic. That's it. We're done.
We're done. Nope, we're out.
Actually, I think we're going to talk about killing off her characters, right?
To kill or not to kill?
Like To Kill a Mockingbird, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, so
it's a great movie.
Absolutely.
It's a good book.
Yeah, someone gives me a hard time about that all the time. So maybe we should let Jeanette lead off with that.
Okay, so Randy and I were at an event, and I don't know how we started talking about this, but he started talking about the importance of killing a character to show that the journey's hard. Because your characters are going through these journeys, and if they all come through unscathed, then it wasn't that hard.
Stakes aren't high.
There is no meaningful victory without sacrifice.
Yes, that's what you said.
Right.
So that really got me thinking, because I'm supposed to be working on Slayers 4. I had to take a side trip, but I started thinking.
But you told me just before the podcast you were killing everybody.
Spoiler alert.
That was my suggestion. So.
Your bomb goes off. I don't have to finish it. It's just
page four.
No, but and then it made me think. Well, okay, so this is four books, and all these characters I planned on. Sort of spoiler alert. Them living. There was going to be one death, but not somebody you like, so that was going to be okay. So it's actually two deaths now that I think about it. Suddenly I'm killing off more people.
We're encouraging you. This is good. We're getting somewhere.
But nobody that the audience is going to be upset about. And then I thought, well, then maybe the journey's too easy. Maybe I do. Because, like, realistically, you're fighting dragons, and maybe someone's going to die here. So
or at least get injured.
I could injure people. I could do that. But anyway, so I asked on
but
Facebook.
But do you?
Do you injure anyone? Well, I'm trying to think if I do or not.
Yeah, they
ought to
get
burned. Just hurt somebody.
No, yes, actually, I do injure a couple of characters. So, just hard to do if the ambulances aren't working. See, a lot of problems. But
that's great. That's compounding the stakes, man. This is awesome.
Right. So I asked people, and I got a lot of feedback on Facebook and Goodreads and my blog, and most of it from readers was long, sustained, no! Exclamation point! Exclamation! And then
because they're afraid you're going to kill the character they like.
Probably. Or they like them all. And again, there were some, don't kill Bess, don't kill, And then writers are like, yes, kill him. It was there was a big difference I noticed between the way writers responded and the way.
And what was my response?
I think it was like kill them all or something.
I said kill more than one.
So the question then is, you know, how do you manage this? I mean, what. You can think of some really good examples. A Game of Thrones, you know, not clean rating. Of course, it's a mature audience for that. But I mean, one of the reasons that worked, though. Well, yes, that's true. But one of the reasons it worked is because you did not know who was going to die, and so the tension was high because you just, I mean, you're looking at this. You think that's the hero of the story, and then the next episode he's dead, and you're like, who is going to make it through this? And you just don't know. And so it's very, it raises the tension.
Well, it's the same with Walking Dead. And I think Studio C did a joke on this after Downton Abbey killed two of their characters in one season.
Also why I stopped watching that.
Downton Abbey?
Right. I was way behind, and then all of a sudden everybody was bemoaning the death. I was just like, why am I even going to... I'm done with this.
Well, and the way they did it was so PBS, like... They kill him off, and then they, like, smash cut to two people being like, support PBS and donate. And it was almost like, or we'll kill them all. We'll kill the dog if you do not donate to PBS right now.
Well, no one is safe. Which is a funny thing, too, because, like that's one of the reasons that people have put down my first novel, because I killed it. The dog dies. Sorry, folks.
Oh, spoiler.
The dog dies. First he's saved and then he dies for a purpose, and there's a reason there, so there's a theme to that. And that, you know, I saw this as just introducing this way of life. It's 1955 on a farm. It's the kind of thing I experienced myself, my dad experienced. I just put it in for realism. The death is throughout as a theme thought and understanding death, and so I just did that as a way of kind of setting that up and didn't think twice about it. And yet I know that that's hard for people to do that, but it's to me, it was an integral part of the story that had to be done.
And you know what I would have told you? Don't kill off a dog.
See, even Randy has a line, Brock.
I know.
Because here's the thing. Okay?
I know, it's tough.
I can kill off a baby, right?
Oh, whoa.
Which is bad. I don't condone that, okay?
No.
I can kill off a baby and people will be less upset than if I kill a dog.
No, it's true. It's true.
Really? I would
absolutely.
But here's the thing. Baby. No, do you consider John Steinbeck a successful writer?
Well, I don't like his
Who?
Stuff.
John Steinbeck, Grapes of Wrath.
No. Don't get me started.
But you know what? The guy's won awards and an award, and then he's classic American literature. And if you go read, several of his stories, I mean, there's one in particular. As soon as I say this, Mice and Men. That's it.
Okay,
I finally remembered.
Mice and Men.
And there's a scene in there. There's a scene almost exactly like the scene in my novel. And so I go, okay, Steinbeck did it. It wasn't gratuitous.
And Old Yeller dies too. But that was a different
Old Yeller.
That was
right.
A different day and age. In this setting, I guarantee you, if you kill off a dog or a cat or a tortoise.
Unless it's a zombie dog.
No.
If it's a zombie dog, you're okay, right?
Too, really?
I don't know. And I Am Legend is still pretty sad. Spoiler.
No, that's true. It was.
it was really sad, right?
There's another movie I'm not
so, okay.
Oh,
it's okay.
Sorry.
It's okay. So we've determined. So we've determined it's okay to kill all your characters, but never the dog.
But there's got to be a reason for it. I don't know. As a writer, I don't think you're going to come. You're either going to start a story going, hey, I got some people to kill, or you're going to get to a point in your story where you're like, I haven't killed anybody. It's time for someone to die. I think that it has to serve either the story. It's got to up the stakes or establish the stakes, or it's got to serve the story, or... For me, the death that was most impactful in my first book that everyone had an issue with came about through the story. I didn't intend to kill the character, but we came to a moment of crisis, and then he died.
Hmm.
And I still contend
Welcome
that.
Welcome to life.
Even though my children say I killed him and that I'm the murderer because I did the writing, I contend that I didn't. That it was the characters. If he'd have made a different choice, he'd have lived. Mm-hmm. If someone else would have made a different choice, he'd have lived. So... I think if it serves the story, I don't know that I would sit down. And maybe Randy differs than me. I don't know that you'd sit down and be like, it's time for someone to die, and then select somebody and kill them for killing's sake.
George R. R. Martin does that.
Oh, Randy's laughing. He's all, I got to, he's like, I do that chapter by chapter.
Who's dying today? Now? That's right. Yeah, well, as long as not the dog or so the goldfish.
My problem with sort of, as I thought about, well, maybe I should kill someone, and there's some, you know, maybe more minor characters that I could kill off and people wouldn't be that upset about. I mean, truly. But then I wanted the end scene where the Slayers are happy and they're celebrating, and they just wouldn't do that. Somebody.
Well, have you not watched Star Wars? I mean, people die. I mean, you know.
Now she's not going to watch that either.
No, I like that scene. Of course, they kind of brought him back as a ghost, but they hadn't just died, you know.
Force ghost.
Force ghost.
Yeah, ghost and Slayers. Yeah, okay. No, but you know, yeah, that scene where they're all happy and Luke can see the Obi-Wan.
So there is a purpose to death sometimes. Is that what we're saying?
No. Okay, Qui-Gon Jinn, I'm still not forgiven the writers for killing off Qui-Gon Jinn because I didn't think it was necessary. I thought it was just a, who are we going to, we got to kill somebody off this movie.
Again, you're trying to establish that the opponent is a real opponent and has the ability.
But then right after that, he goes down like a punk. He has the
high ground. They should have killed, they should have followed Randy's advice and killed a few more people before they got it. It would have been a better movie.
Okay, wait a minute. What about
a better story.
This last Star Wars one, and I wasn't quite so upset with that one. I don't know why, but I mean,
which last one? Rogue One or
Rogue One? Okay, spoiler.
Yeah, you got to throw out a spoiler. Spoiler if it's within alert, a year.
Like
lots of people die.
Yeah, and all of them in the film, you know. But I don't think anybody walked out of that movie going, "Oh, I feel good." You just sort of felt like, "Oh." Yeah.
But again, it's like we said, the death had a purpose to the meaning and the theme.
I didn't
of the story.
Feel like they cheated, but I was like, really, not even any of them survived? Like,
I just wanted the robot to survive. He was awesome.
Yeah, the robot. I would have been happy with just the robot. But, I mean, I understood also from a writing standpoint why they couldn't.
And why?
Because it was like the dog.
No. Because he sacrifices himself.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. He is there fighting off those forces so the others can do the mission. And they take him apart bit by bit to prey on that emotion. Because he has to keep sacrificing himself through that whole scene. Right. Mm-hmm. That's why it's powerful and memorable.
Yeah, because he sacrificed and gave everything. And so that's valuable. And again, by the way, for those of you who don't like killing the dog in the first chapter of my book sacrifices himself to save his master. So just so you know.
So we like him more before you kill him off.
That's right.
Okay, so then what about death without sacrifice? Well, because there is plenty of death in literature and in film that is...
That doesn't feel as... At least, I mean, I agree with Randy in that if there's a sacrifice, like, you know, with Rogue One, you were really moved by, like, there are times and places where people do this, where they just sacrifice everything for the greater good. And then plus, as a writer, they had to kill him off because otherwise they would have been in the other movies.
Well, I'll tell you another time you need to do it, though, is when you're trying to create the villain. Villain comes in and just annihilates a few people at will, like Darth Vader does, you know, crunching people's throats and things. And you go, okay, this is a bad person. Mm-hmm. And so you have someone that you cheer for and someone that you don't like automatically. And so, that is a time when you want to also use lethal force is when you're trying to create a villain. That's a really good time.
Yeah, or there could be a there could be a turn in the tone of the story as well.
That's true. But you're going to have a turn in the tone, whether you want it or not.
Right.
I mean,
Which, maybe again, humor. I write mostly humor, so death would not fit with most of my...
Death does not become her? Or death becomes her?
Yeah.
That's an oldie.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, so Jack Lemmon's done some pretty funny things with death and funny, but anyway, that's another story. But yeah, I mean, death. There's love letters from what was that? It won an award. Love letters from the Angel of Death. It was kind of a literary LDS piece that was quite kind of dark humor. It was really quite good. Anyway,
wait, you know, Randy, you didn't tell us that. So because he kills off people, you have fans that come up to you and say,
"I shouldn't laugh," but yeah, so my fans come up and they're like, "Randy, you're not going to kill off the main character next story." And, of course, I tell them, You just have to read and find out.
Tune in.
Tune in.
And that goes back to the Game of Thrones Walking Dead thing. They're like, who's Randy going to kill?
Okay, so that presents a really good second point, knowing that I could potentially kill off a main character in the next book. They take the conflict and more serious, right? Because they don't know. I might kill them off. So when bad guys show up with guns, okay, they're worried. They
should be.
Right.
Life is really that way. I mean.
Right, except for we don't write. I mean, when readers pay money and invest their time, they want something that's better than life.
Yes, but some people will put the book down if the stakes are not high enough.
That's true.
Because they go, why do I care?
Yeah.
Why do I care? Because no one's going to die. It's the A-team. I mean,
right.
You know?
No,
so there's going to be lots of bullets flying, but no one's ever going to die. I'm watching the A-team. And it's the A-team. I love the A-team, but that was a problem. So it's the stakes just aren't high enough sometimes.
Right.
You kill a few people.
So it does present a lot. Right. I have tension because I do kill off characters.
So, just you gotta kill with care, I guess.
Oh, that should be my motto from now on.
Kill with care.
All right. I believe that we are out of time. I want to thank.
Kill this episode.
Well, I'm going to kill this episode. There we go. See how it works? I want to thank Rich Wilson at Vibe for providing technical support. I want to thank the listeners for tuning in and listening to us. And until next week, get ready.
Get set.
Go kill someone.
Oh, no, man. No, don't write.
Go oh, right. Meaning right. In your book.
In your write.
That's a fine line. Fine difference.
'Thank you for listening. Technical support for this program is brought to you by Vibe, Visual Image Building Enterprises. Vibe is your resource for all your visual marketing needs through website design, video production, and social media management. Give you and your business a new vibe by contacting them at 480-353-1539 or by going to their website at www.vibeforbusiness.com. That's Vibe, the number 4, business.com.